This is The Financial Coconut, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. And I'm Timothy Mazier, editor-in-chief of Blockhead. Join me and the crew on our weekly Friday segment as we filter out the noise in the crypto space and keep you updated on the ideas that actually matter. This is Blockcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, welcome to another episode of Blockcast. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm the founder and CEO of Blockhead.
And this is Timothy Mazier, managing editor at Blockhead.
Hello, Bosley here.
Hey, bro, cannot. You must say like Jose Bo, where everybody. Jose Bo, everybody. I'm Bosley back in the house, you know, something like that. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Oh, Jose Bo, Bosley here.
I love it. But hey, really, I always find your videos damn funny because it always starts with the, hey, everybody Jose Bo. That's like when the market is tanking, right? Actually, not very Jose recently. So yeah. I always find quite funny.
Candid a bit. Edutainment, they call it.
Yeah, edutainment. As the candle goes, yeah. So for all of you tuning in, I'm back this week, but as you can tell, my voice is quite bad this week, right? So I'm down with a flu, but I'm very glad to be back with the crew, right? And like I said, like every time I record with you guys, it's like, yeah, weekend's coming, right? So looking forward to that. But this week, a lot of big news, a lot of crazy things happening in the market, right? Maybe more on the legislation side once again. So it is what it is, you know, as we continue to cover all this interesting stuff for you. Who wants to roll on the first story, the big story of the week?
Okay, I can start with this. It's about Ledger Wallet. Ledger Wallet owners aren't too happy about its latest feature, which is called Ledger.
Wait, they're pissed off. That's what it's like. You know, like I think that is the
that is the right texture.
That's the right context.
You know, but cannot. Tim is a professional journalist. You are his boss. He's different. You can say what you want to say, right?
Okay. The feature is called Ledger Recover. So what is it? It's an optional subscription service, $9.99 a month, included in the latest Ledger Nano X firmware update. So what it is it allows users to back up their secret recovery phrase and restore their wallet wherever and whenever, even if their original device is lost, damaged, or stolen. So how it works is that the user's seed phrase, 16 or 24 words that you use to gain access or recovery to your wallet, is divided into three encrypted fragments, each sent to different external entities. And then you have your ID verification, like national ID or whatever, that you provide to these three custodians, and they will recover or reconstruct the original seed phrase, you know, from these three parties. So it's opt-in.
So why is it bad? It sounds quite good, no man? Like you protect your password.
Correct, but the thing is that it has broken trust with users, because Ledger for a long time has said that, you know, the secret recovery phrase cannot be taken out from the wallet. You know, this goes against how cold wallets work in the first place, right?
The idea here is that, like, you know, the most secure way of storing your freaking crypto is also the most archaic way, meaning that, like, you know, it has got to be completely offline. You know, that means that, you know, you store your password and you know, that's why people get tattoos of the freaking, like, you know, like seed phrase. Okay, right?
Guys, let's be clear, right? Tattoo of your seed phrase is not the most private thing. Unless you're going to tattoo.
It is not. Okay, but I'm using that reference because it has really happened.
The
reason why that has happened is because people have, you know, look, right? You can't even remember, like, you know, some people actually forget their personal banking passwords, right? Mm. Like, it is just like a reality that a lot of people just would either lose or can't or forget, you know, these like 24 word seed phrases. You know, so I think what Ledger is trying to do here is just, okay, look, let's offer some balance between security, right? And then at the same time, also, you know, like give people some sort of way to get their keys back if, let's say, they lose it. But I think people are really pissed off because, you know, there is no middle ground here. I mean, the whole point of them even buying a cold wallet is because they just want it fully secure and there's, you know...
No, they're not surprised at the idea. They're surprised, they're shocked that this is even possible.
Yeah. That means it must have been built into the hardware, right?
Mm. Correct. You know, some people had compared this to, like, you know, Apple's secure environment on the phone, you know, like that, you know, even the Fed doesn't have access to if they want.
Lies.
But now Ledger is saying that, hey, actually, if you just pay us $10 a month, we can manage this for you. Mm. Well, you buy a hardware wallet thinking it's a one-off purchase for $100 or whatever. No. Well, now it's a monthly subscription service like everything else in your life.
I'd like to share something with regards to this for Ledger. So, like what you all have mentioned. So in order for this social recovery feature to come alive, first you need to opt in. Second, you will need to upgrade the firmware. Then once you upgrade the firmware, this feature will be available. Then you can choose to opt in, and like what Tim say, you have to pay. And like what Mark say, it is because for a crypto holder, what you want is to, like, if you want to hold it like in cold storage, right? Technically, when you upgrade the firmware, you shouldn't have this kind of features where you can leak out. There's a potentiality for an exploit, even if you don't opt in, because now it becomes a feature on the hardware wallet that you can actually share the encrypted seed phrase with three other parties, right? And this is how they do the social recovery. In my opinion, if this was on a new device or a new product, then they will not have so much backlash. Because one of the things about crypto is handling crypto wallet. And like what Mark says, some people even forget their bank password. So if you want to have mass adoption and want users to come on board easily, you need to have this kind of social recovery. It's sort of like a balance, like what he said, like for the typical user, your Ledger Nano X, right, which is the one that is being pushed out to a lot of people right now, are being used by a lot of crypto native. They already know how to use already. They already can embrace crypto. They do not want to KYC. They want full cold storage. They shouldn't touch this product, but this is what I mean. So I think the big backslash is that because they use it on
That's a fair point.
They upgrade this existing product, right? So there was a lot of backslash, especially coming from crypto native. Because if you think about it, when you first heard Tim talk about it, like Yoji yourself, you say it was quite a good feature update, right? Because in any case that you truly lost all your seed phrase, there is a way to recover, but you need to KYC. This kind of thing are not like the typical hardcore crypto native. They don't like this kind of stuff, right? They want it to be, don't need to KYC, only I know what I'm doing and all this. So I feel that they should have just have this feature on another product. Because right now, they have turned my Ledger Nano X into a more secure hot wallet. Yeah.
Fair. Actually, that is what I would think of doing if it was me. It's like, okay, let's just release a new version and say that in this new version, there are new features, right? But to be fair, Microtree is a Microtree. Once you download a new OS, right, or updated OS, then you're essentially downloading a whole stream of code that can allow to do some of these things, right? So it is what it is, you know, but I'm quite amazed that this is the story of the week, like, actually, you know, as an outsider, right, when I look at it, it's like, okay, great, it's just system update, right? It's not a bad feature, but I kind of understand what you're saying.
I mean, I bought a cold wallet for the reason that, like, you know, I just didn't trust anything online.
You mean FTX, you mean that era.
all that shit, you know? So, like, you know, and I think a lot of people actually bought cold wallets in the aftermath of those incidents as well.
Yeah.
Right? Thinking that taking their keys and all the way off-chain, right, and offline, right, would be the safest way. So this is kind of like, yeah, definitely a big bump in the road, because then it'd be like, what's the difference between the, I mean, it's still definitely more secure than, like, you know, like leaving it on an exchange for sure. Right? Yeah.
Actually, what makes you so sure is safer than leaving it in an exchange? You're now leaving it in one party's hands, right?
I'm using a Nano Ledger.
Oh, so I was asking about the, like, do you all own any hardware wallet?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Ledger Nano.
I'm using a SafePal. Local company.
Local company. You trust a local company. SG, great lah. Love it, man. High security, right? I cannot.
But you know, there have been few other innovations in this respect, right? Like, okay, we went to like some crypto conventions in the past. The kind of products that they were touting to secure your seed phrase or like a seed phrase pools, right? One of which was a fireproof notebook. Okay, so still encouraging you to put pen to paper, but now these are like tear-proof, fireproof, whatever notebook. Okay, it costs like $50 US.
Wow.
Another one, okay, it made me feel like I was in primary school with a spy kit. It's like a pen which can only be read under UV light. They actually encourage you to use this UV light pen plus the fireproof notebook together in combination. This is $70 US.
Actually, the best way, do you know how Vitalik store his seed phrase? No. I think he shared once before. I think that incident was because Shiba Inu sent some token over to his wallet.
Correct, yeah,
right?
He burned
it. But
right?
He didn't want to have it, right? So he need to donate the whatever Shiba Inu that he received. But in order to make that transaction, he had to get his wallet up and running. And what he does is he split his seed phrase into like, let's say it's a 12-word seed phrase. 6 of it is with him. 6 of it is with his family. Or he keep it elsewhere. Yeah. And on paper. Mm. That's the most safest. You don't need to trust any device. No firmware upgrade. But he also wrote a paper and shared that social recovery is one of the important things when it comes to handling this kind of seed phrase. Because back to the question or like if you want to onboard a lot more users, this is one of the important things that we need to have. Yeah, but paper is the best.
I mean,
we like gimmicks, right? Like for me, I also own Ledger. Yeah.
There's also another there are many variations of this, but essentially it's metal keys that you assemble on a strip, like in a grid, and it goes into like a fireproof matchbox. So this is like stainless steel or like iron, I don't know what lah. So it's like a small little brick, super heavy, and inside is just little metal keys like you would typesetting for a newspaper back in the day. That thing, about $100 US, has your 16 words. Like,
I don't know. I see Reggie shaking his head.
I shocked how. Okay, to be fair, the crypto, my crypto is not any big part of my portfolio, so I will not feel the.
I mean, don't hate the player, man. Hate the game.
No, I'm not hating the player. I'm just bemused. You know, it's like wow. You know, people go okay. And to be fair, you know, if I have a lot of holdings in the crypto space, then I may go to that kind of level. Like, of course, right? Because if all your worth is there, then you jolly well build up the security, right?
I mean, so, another one, also local company
support local. Oh, local, very good one. Huai Ting.
UKIS, they do hardware wallets as well, but their hardware wallet involves two devices. One is your wallet and one is the seed phrase. So you don't have to remember any seed phrase. There's nothing on paper, but it's on another device. So you need both at the same time. So you're encouraged to like keep them separately or whatever, but now you have the problem of what if you lose either one.
Is Blockcast going to find this hardware wallets for a sponsor?
There is actually the alternative here is that there are memory systems out there that train you how to kind of remember things. And then if you're able to, I mean, dude, like there really are. And like you can actually kind of like lock it into your brain. And then you'll be able to remember it. So maybe that is the best and most secure way.
Yeah, guys, I don't know, man. I feel like if you remember, you want to like lose one pair of keys, it's really quite jealous. Now you got to make sure you don't lose two pair of keys, right? Yeah. I'm not sure if that's innovation. But yes, like what Brian said, right, we should get a sponsor so we don't flame too hard.
If not,
no sponsor already. So yeah, it is what it is, right? For all you know, it is in your bag. Like, I mean, it's up to you to call, right? What you need to do for yourself. Yes.
And I think once you're at the level of you know you need a hardware wallet, you're going to keep your crypto, you know, on a cold device, I think you should have all these other plans in mind on how you're going to store your seed phrase anyway. So I don't think this subscription service Ledger is offering or whatever, it's not for cold wallet owners. It's just for people who might have used to store their crypto on exchanges.
Cool.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I think that brings us to our second story of the day. Proposed crypto law in UK raises questions about investor protection and responsible gambling practices. This is the the broad theme. But what has really happened here is that the UK wants to regulate crypto trading as gambling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting. that's interesting.
What's your reasoning behind it?
Well, look, so like the UK Parliament's Treasury Committee essentially stated that, Bitcoin and ETH, which comprises 2/3 of all cryptos, right, are not backed by any currency or asset, right? And therefore, as we all know, causing price volatility, blah, 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 and the possibility that all money invested in them may be lost. Like any other speculative asset, So in a recent report, it warned that if retail trading and investing in unbacked cryptocurrencies were regulated, it might create a halo effect, making consumers believe the activity is safer than it actually is. This much I can agree. Yeah. Because, obviously that regulation would offer a veneer of like safety at least, the impression that you will get, right? So on Tuesday, the European Union passed the first global regulations for the cryptocurrency sector and said the underlying technology may help, streamline financial transactions, including cross-border payments. And there's quite a lot to get into here. Just some highlights. Right, so EU member states approved the world's first complete set of laws to regulate cryptocurrencies, putting pressure on other nations like the UK and US to follow suit. And then the global regulatory body, IOSCO. How do you pronounce this smoothie? IOSCO. IOSCO.
It's an abbreviation. I don't need to
be that. Right. Right. So they also announced the development of the first globally coordinated set of rules for crypto assets, aiming to address regulatory gaps and promote market stability. Right. So basically what's happened here is that the EU has come up with a comprehensive set of global regulations for the crypto sector. And then the UK has kind of followed suit by, essentially saying that, hey, look, right, with this in place, people are going to think it's safer and therefore we might need more protection and we might want to kind of regulate it as gambling. Same way we do casinos.
Gambling is big in the UK. You've gone to any high street in England, it's only betting shops. So if regulating crypto, you regulate gambling, then you're going to see exchanges proliferate. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is that where I think it's very unclear at the moment is also because gambling regulations are just also very disparate around the world, right? In the UK, you could walk into a pub and then there's your pokey machines and all that crap in there, right? And then there's also online gambling laws. That means it would really just, I'm assuming that this is a tax issue as well, or they have some sort of compliance that if this actually passes, then the exchanges there would be subject to the same rules that your casino operators would, or your online casino operators would. Effectively, I don't know how this actually will make a difference to people looking to invest or trade. I don't.
You will see long disclaimer text everywhere.
I mean, if that's it, then so what? It doesn't freaking matter, right? That hasn't stopped me before.
Yeah, but I guess it has to do with education of consumers. Yeah, that's what it is, right?
No, but what are they trying to do here? In a sense of, we must first define what is considered crypto trading, right? Is it just speculating in the markets, right? Then how are you going to tax that? Are you going to tax it from a listing point of view? The people that list it in the markets, they will need to comply with certain things, or are you going to limit flows? Are you going to, what are you trying to do? I don't know. It sounds way more complicated than what it is.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with UK tax laws myself, or how earnings are taxed with regards to gambling proceeds. But if it already looks like it's gonna encompass things like Bitcoin and Ethereum investing, then it's not just limited to.
Yeah, that means it's borrowing the perception of this word called gambling. But actually, it is a blanket term for many other components within the crypto ecosystem, right? If that's the case, which I don't know, it sounds quite weird.
I think that, in my opinion, it doesn't seem very plausible in my view. I mean, they're talking about it now, but it just adds another layer of complexity. I mean, right now, they're already kind of it's already so difficult to get a set of coordinated and comprehensive crypto regulations. Mm. And then you want to add a gambling layer on top of that. You know, it just sounds to me like just, you know, it's a lot of like banter, you know, in parliament.
I mean, that is what parliament does, okay? No,
right? Right. But what I think is interesting here is that from a public comms perspective, you know, I think that the different governments out there, it just shows, you know, it's just shifting attitudes, you know, of governments and regulatory bodies. All of them are just trying I would say different approaches to balance the risk while like, you know, like not putting not completely destroying innovation and also like, you know, like the money flow into space.
That's what everyone wants. But
that's what everyone wants, right?
It's a Goldilocks, right? What are you trying to achieve? Yeah. Yeah. Brian, any thoughts on this?
I just feel that at least in the EU, they try to have some structure over compared to the US where there's totally no structure. So like what Tim say, right? So today, let's say if they classify under it as gambling, at least crypto companies have set of rules that they can skirt through all that. That's other stuff. But, you know, at least you have a clear set of rules that this is how you need to operate, right? And in a way also protect the retail investor.
But
that doesn't help the public perception of the industry that, you know, everyone is, you know, saying...
Yeah, because they are putting the term like gambling on there.
Yeah, that's not but their main concern, guys, right?
But you know, guys, like here's the thing I'm thinking of, right? So what? I mean, crypto, like a lot of crypto trading is gambling, what? You know, like, I mean, look at all these, like, I mean...
No, there's a difference between a colloquial perception and like and like a legal structure behind the term. Cannot like that just jump over, right? But yeah, I'm quite curious, right? Like, so what if they don't do anything, right? Like, is so what if the UK does very arcane laws or do big blanket laws? Is it going to affect everyone? Like, is it going to affect the mass? Or can you just continue to participate in the crypto space without the participation of the UK?
Yeah, no, I don't think they matter. Enough.
Yeah, because the past few weeks, right, we've all been talking about Hong Kong lah, Dubai lah, you know, like, you know, it's like, like UK, sway, who's that, right? Like, it's like, what, you go there and buy £20 million property. Yes, that is the place to go to store those kind of heavy old school wealth. But I don't know, like, does it matter? Is it even important? Or is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And also, the retail segment, is it that important to the industry or ecosystem? Like, if you just take out UK retail from the whole, you know, space, I mean, it's mostly institutional participation anyway, but
yeah
but I have a different view. Also, we talk about Dubai and all this stuff, right? They have different rules, but they are trying to set a standard, right? So like, if EU keep on saying that this is classified under gambling, it might affect other nations that who have no idea how to set a proper regulation yet. So, hey, why not we just follow?
Okay. Oh, but just to point out, it's the UK, so not the EU.
Yeah.
They're not the EU anymore. It's UK. Yeah. The EU set of laws is something else that's concurrently happening. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, since I did study common law in school,
that is like a self tee up like that. You know, like,
yeah,
like,
no, but yeah. I mean, you know, like we still can't give up like our, you know, it's we still have like our colonial hang ups. Okay. Like, you know, like most of our legal systems have been imported from the UK, so maybe we still look to them for some guidance here. I mean, that is one, I don't know, like, you know, but I think in this space, in my opinion, it doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things. It does not. Yeah. Yeah. So like, what I mean, to me, it's just, you know, interesting to see how different governments are actually trying to articulate what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. I think it's time for us to form an alliance, right? We should go and find a few of the other financial hubs, you know, that matters and standardize and all that shit, you know, in our own terms, because there's a lot of value in being the one that set the standard, right? Like, you can do so much. You can, there's so much to make out of it.
Yeah, and then the tagline for the association can be, alliance can be, gamblers are people too.
Can you not draw unnecessary social references that get us cancelled for no rhyme or reason? Oh my goodness. I totally know what the kind of shit you consume. But that is another time. That's another time. Okay, so we continue to embroil ourselves in the endless tussle between like regulators and everyone else. But yeah, I think the UK, never mind, they're not going to stand for very much longer. At least in my worldview. But that's a different discussion. So yeah, Boss Lee, bring us to the last story. Today, I take a break.
Take a break. Yeah, the last story is very interesting. So crypto kidnapper sentenced to life in prison. So basically the background story is two men has been sentenced to life in prison for stealing about $1.5 million worth of crypto. Mm-hmm. So this one involved kidnapping and threatening the victims with those HIV
shit.
Needles. Yeah, but this needles, right?
Where did this happen?
Oh, this happened in Vietnam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, why? Oh, why?
Is it a common thing over there?
You better state clarity. Our Vietnamese listeners are now wondering what's going on.
No, because you mentioned HIV needles, right? Oh. So it's like, where can this take place? Oh. Where is that
thing? The thing here is, I just want to add two more quick points, is that the needles, when they threaten the victims, they say it's HIV, but some of these needles are fake. Some are real. They also use fake guns. But the interesting thing is they use a GPS tracker to track the users and then kidnap the victims at gunpoint. So I think the learning point here is that how would they know that you own a lot of crypto? You don't wear a ledger around your neck, right? So, I mean,
that's true. Like, how do you you would need to actually do a CSI on these, on the targets first, right?
Yeah.
So then
the learning point is simple: don't flex and don't go to all the random crypto event and flex, try to kumbaya everybody.
There is another learning point in this, okay, guys. So just like not crypto related, right? But if you are ever under a situation where someone is threatening to poke you with like HIV laden needles, right? When infected blood, or like, you know, when these things kind of like encounter oxygen, right? These viruses are very fragile. Okay, so the way to kind of infect someone with like HIV, right, is that you need a syringe full of blood, right? And you need to jab you with it and then inject the damn blood into your freaking like bloodstream, right? a tainted needle is not going to give you anything but maybe like tetanus or some shit like that.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Action for AIDS.
I mean, there are a lot of misconceptions here, right? But like, you know, like, I mean, dude, like, how are they going to keep like, you know, the HIV virus on a freaking needle, right? Alive and well, while they go and find a victim, right?
Yeah. While they threaten you, then there's like a 30 minute threaten. It's like, you want,
so like, you know, unless like, you know, you see them dip it in blood and then like jab you a bit immediately after, right? You're good, you know, tell them to bring it.
Okay. Thanks for the short little AFA kind of add on, but learning point. Great. AFA should sponsor us, but that's besides the point, right? Back to this thing on kidnapping, it's crazy, man.
I'm reading the news report now. So basically, the perpetrator, the leader of this heist, a kidnapping, actually lost money, you know, due to so-called bad advice from this guy, Le Duc Nguyen. That's the guy that they threatened with the needles. So the guy who lost money that orchestrated this heist hired two ex-cops to track down this person and kidnap him. And then there's like 14 other people involved. So now they're facing... those other guys are 9 to 19 years. There was a fake motorbike crash as well, and threats against the family. But I mean, it's Vietnam, huge crypto adoption. Everyone is in the space.
Well, look, to me, it feels nice to see some of these crypto criminals, like, you know, like being brought to justice. You know, I mean, obviously the main ones are still out there at large. You know,
like who?
You know, I mean, like, you know, like your famous guys, you know. We don't need to say their names here, but it's all over the news.
It's okay. It's okay.
Right. But I mean, like, people have been looking for justice in this space for a while. So I mean, this is like, you know, the first step in a long line of convictions that might follow.
No, but this is. But oh my goodness. But I think the learning point is don't go online, and you know, even after you make very good money in the space and go and flaunt around, right? Isn't that the main learning point?
For sure, right? For sure.
Not yeah, some like justice shit, right? To be exact, I think this is not an isolated case, right? There's quite a few cases of this kind of like crypto.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's yeah.
Like if you are talking about like kidnapping crypto, then there was also previously, I think there was also a news on in Australia where there's this female influencer, she also flexed lah, like how she made wealth of crypto, and there was a kidnapping that took place, but it was not on her, it was on her husband. Her partner.
Well, that is just...
Yeah, and then pay money to solve this kind of problem. So I think on top of like, if you do something bad to someone and in a country where the regulations are less strict, of course you have people coming back after you. Another thing is also not to flex. I think it's quite interesting, right? Why would you want to flex that you... you know, a lot of wealth of crypto online. Mm.
But that's what they do, right? You have your Lamborghinis with like
they were all rent one,
Shiba
Inu
all over the place.
They were rental. I give you, I can give you contact. Cheaper. And then we film some, like, you know, Chinese New Year like video. Something.
But that's why crypto entrepreneurs are attracted to Dubai, right? Because that's where they can flex openly, and that's what everyone is doing.
Oh yeah, they want flex openly. Yeah. But
or to
one,
Miami.
I think
or like
if
whatever.
Everyone is Lambo, then it's quite common already, right?
That's why they no that's why they use White Tiger as pets, right? And all those kind of weird shit that I see on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I mean, flexing is part of this whole thing, right? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I really wish it wasn't, honestly. I really wish it wasn't. You know,
a bit rich coming from you, but. But
what are you talking about?
It's okay. You always flexing your common law. You know, you flex.
I was just trying to provide some value. Like, I mean, like it was a point of opinion.
No.
You know what?
No. I agree. That's just disturbing. But yeah, I think overall, there's a lot of good tips today, like with the AFA stuff, together with the law and all those kind of stuff. Right? So I don't know if you tuned into the right show, you know, but it is a good show. It is a good show today. It's been a while with you guys. Any last things to add for these news in the crypto space, you know? But yeah, hey guys, just don't flex. Don't flex. You make your money, go and buy your do what you need to do. Don't go around telling people you got a lot of shit.
Don't get a crypto tattoo, especially not your seed phrase.
That's a good one. Yeah. We'll update you if I say like I decide to change my wallet provider.
Then you know we have a new sponsor, like a proper sponsor that buy our whole season.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So yeah, it is what it is. Any last words to add, anybody?
No, that's it. I think we can't really go further than HIV laden needles.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What's happening to this show? But yeah, okay. It is what it is. I hope you continue to have fun and learn alongside together with us as we discover the ins and out of the space, right? So that's it for Blockcast this week. We will see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey Coconuts, so yes, I hope you enjoy this new show that we're building together with the team at Blockhead. And the goal is very clear, right? We're not here to shill any token or be a cheerleader for any project, but we feel that there's a lot of development that's going on in this space that we could cover and continue to be a little bit smarter as investors. I mean, eventually you tune in every week to a financial podcast network so that you can be smarter with your investments. And if it so happens this is something that you're looking at, the crypto space, Web3, Metaverse, all these kind of stuff, then that is where we're trying to cover, but not from the angle of like this is good, that is bad, but really trying to see it from like what is happening, how is it developing. And I hope you find this useful and interesting, right? So if you want to continue to get more coverage around the crypto space, check out blockhead.co, and then we will see you next week.